Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today is Dom Starzia, who's about to begin his 22nd season as the men's lacrosse coach at UVA, where his teams have won four NCAA titles. Dom, thanks for stopping by.
Always a pleasure, Jeff.
Your opener is Thursday night against Loyola at Klockner. You ready for another season?
Yeah, I think we are. We started a little bit earlier. This is the earliest we've ever played, and most college schedules are a little bit in flux this year because of all the conference realignment, and so we found ourselves playing about 10 days earlier than we would ordinarily, and so we started practice a little bit earlier, and so I feel like we're close to being ready to play a game, and you know, it's a little different for us also having only one scrimmage going into our first contest, but Loyola's in the same boat, and we'll just did whatever we needed to do to feel, you know, to get ourselves prepared for this, and I think the guys are anxious to get to it.
I did a little research in the Brown archives and found that your first game as a head coach, which was against Virginia, as chance would have it, was played on March the 13th in 1983. 31 years later, you're about to play a season opener on February the 6th. Is there an end to sight to that, or will there be January openers one day? And how does the cold – I mean, obviously the conditions become a factor – in early February, do you prepare differently?
I don't think you prepare much differently. You know, even though it's probably been as cold a stretch as I can remember here in Charlottesville, we've really only missed one or two days being able to get outside, and we're hopeful to be a little bit lucky with the weather on Thursday night, and that we're going to be clear and cool, but okay to play. And I would suggest to folks to come on. Everybody's got a good heavy coat these days. Right. Put it on and put on an extra hat and mittens, and you'll be fine. You know, it's funny, as I've gotten some grief from folks about the early part of the schedule, with the schedule starting so much earlier. You know, I tell people, you know, they played a football game outside in New York only three or four days earlier. You know, our baseball team opens up next week.
Yep.
They're playing hockey outdoors in Minnesota in January, And so the world is just, you know, there's a lot of this stuff going on right now. And again, I think next year we'll push it a little bit later, back to being a little bit later, when we can make some adjustments to what we did. You know, we had to add Notre Dame, and I wanted to add Richmond in their first year. And so we had to make some accommodations. And the only places that we had space to do some of those things were in the early part of the schedule. And so that will repair itself a little bit for next year, even though this is certainly earlier than we were playing 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
What's it like as a head coach to look around the expanded ACC and know that every one of your conference games will be against a team that comes into the season ranked in the top six nationally?
Well, it doesn't, you know, it makes for some sleepless nights, certainly. You know, you and I have always joked about it. When I'm standing there in January looking out over a schedule, I'm often thinking to myself, you know, where are the wins in this schedule, you know, And when the schedule was released a month or so ago, I was quoted as saying, this is actually epic in the history of college sports. I was watching a football telecast, actually, I think it was two falls ago when they first announced Syracuse and Notre Dame coming in. And these two football guys actually said that they thought that this ACC lacrosse conference was going to be the best conference in any sport in NCAA history and stuff. And so people have picked up on it, and it certainly adds a little juice to all the games and to the schedule overall. Doesn't make any coach's life any easier. But it doesn't change. I mean, we've always played Syracuse, and we've always, you know, last year we had the number one strength of schedule anyway, and you know, the thought of adding Notre Dame to that is a little daunting, but it is what it is.
The fact that they're all in the conference.
Right.
And actually, you would have played them anyway.
Well, right. But I would tell you the difference there is that, I've been a little casual sometimes in talking about the Syracuse games in years past about the fact that, you know, it doesn't really matter who wins or loses because, we're likely to meet again down the road if we're having the kind of season that we expected. And some of that is still true. But at the same time now, you know, you'd really like to be in that semifinal setup in the ACC tournament. And so the top four teams are going to be included in that. And so the Syracuse-Virginia game is now going to be have conference ramifications. Right. And that's meaningful.
In 2013, Virginia missed the NCAA tournament for only the second time in your years here. I remember a lot of people were quick to write off Syracuse a couple years ago when it finished 9-8, got bounced from the NCAA tournament, and you look now and you see the Orange is ranked number one or number two in the preseason polls. In your opinion, was last season, you know, something of an aberration for the program, kind of like the Syracuse 2012 season was for them?
There are always years when you're going to have a greater transition from year to year. You know, you don't graduate Steel Stanwyck, Chris Bocklet, Colin Briggs, you know, Matt Lovejoy off that 2012 team and not think that you're going to feel the effects of it in 2013. I would tell you that in the fall of 2012, I thought we looked really good, and I thought we were ahead of schedule and looking good. And then we got into the season, and, you know, our goalie doesn't come back to school, right. And then on the very same practice, we lose probably our key freshman and our captain, our only sole captain in my 40 years of coaching, LaPierre and Pinnell go down, throughout the whole season, so we're a little shorthanded. We're going through. We lose some close games. But we never stopped fighting, and we played. You know, we were playing on the very last day for the conference championship, right, with a chance to go to the NCAAs, and I felt like, you know, in spite of the issues, that we were only a whisper away from getting back in the playoffs and maybe making a run of things, I think it was a little bit of an aberration. You know, you look back at us, the last time we had a losing season in 2004, we came back and got to the semifinals in 2005 and had an undefeated national championship team in 2006. And so the Syracuse and the Virginias, I can remember Princeton when Coach Turney was still there having an off year. These things happen, especially when you're playing schedules like this, and you get everybody's attention, and yep. So you're going to get everybody's best shot. I give our, again, it's maybe a coach talking, but I give our 2013 team a lot of credit. I thought we battled the entire season. We never gave in. We got better. I think people would clearly say we were better at the end of the year. Led the nation in ground balls. They played the toughest schedule. I don't think the final record was indicative of the effort overall, and so I think there was still a lot there to be proud of.
You scrimmaged Navy on Saturday, and from all accounts, it went well. What stood out to you in that scrimmage, if anything?
Yeah, usually in these scrimmages, you know, your goals are fairly simple. Without any regard for the scoreboard, what we're really looking for is, we're going to play hard for the entire time. Are we going to be smart and alert and a situation where you're bussing the morning of the scrimmage, you get off the bus, 2 hours before the scrimmage starts, got kids eating their box lunches in the locker room right beforehand and stuff. You're a little concerned about that, all of those different kind of things, the attention to detail that might follow. But the thing I was most pleased with was that we were on top of it from the beginning to the end, from the opening whistle until the final whistle of the day. We played five quarters of lacrosse. I thought we carried the play to Navy the whole time. I thought we dominated the ball on the ground. I thought we looked like the more alert lacrosse team. We weren't flawless. I thought we turned the ball over too many times. But we were always thinking about how we can make plays. You could just see that in the tempo of what was happening out there. So overall, a pretty good day. Certainly some things that we can work on and get better at. But Navy had played the weekend before. I was very concerned about the pace of it. Oftentimes, the first time you scrimmage somebody, you get struck by the difference in the pace of play, and especially with a team that's already scrimmaged somebody. But I thought I was pleased with that part of it as much as anything else.
Have you settled on a starting goalie?
We have settled on a starting goalie, Jeff, but I'm going to wait another day or so before I unveil that selection to you.
You have players on your roster from Virginia, New York, Maryland, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Connecticut, Ohio, Massachusetts, Illinois, New Jersey, and Canada. When you picked up a lacrosse stick for the first time back at Brown, would you have dreamed that the sport could explode in popularity like this?
No, absolutely not. It's interesting. I had a budget meeting yesterday, and we were talking about the big ticket items in our budget, and recruiting being one of them. And I said to the administrators and all that our sport has just exploded. It forces us to go to these what would have been traditionally outlying areas to go see players, to watch kids play, and to make home visits and do those kind of things. And there's been so much publicity recently. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal just this past week about how participation rates are down in football and basketball and baseball primarily, but way up in lacrosse. And so I think we're at the cusp of a really explosive time in our game. I've been fortunate to be part of the game, the growth of the game over these past 25 years. But I think we could even see more dramatic growth in the very near future.
Lacrosse is a game that was created by Native Americans, and your freshman this season includes Zed Williams, who's a member of the Seneca tribe. What should fans know about Zed as a player and as a young man?
Really neat kid. Silver Creek High School, on the edge of the reservation, just south of Buffalo. 62 students in the senior class, half of those being girls. And Zed is in his junior year, he broke the record, the all-time, Casey Powell's all-time high school scoring record. So for any young lacrosse players out there that want to set a goal for themselves, you can shoot for, 444 wow. goals and 285 assists in your high school career. Had 120 points on the varsity as an eighth grader at Silver Creek. He's a really, really neat, kind of quiet, thoughtful, respectful young man. Everybody on the team has taken him under their wing. Big change for this young man coming to Charlottesville and coming to the university. And I think he's got a lot to offer us and as we do to him. And it's really been fun to be a part of his life over these last 6 or 7 months. Got a great skill set. He's a big, strong kid. He runs really great. He's really tough. People are really going to enjoy watching him play. The Navy scrimmage started out a little bit slowly for us offensively. And he stepped over the restraining line. I think it might have been in the first quarter of the game. And stepped over the restraining line and just whacked one from about 18 yards over the goalie's shoulder, And he's capable of doing that. There's still, a significant learning curve for him to be playing at this level. I think a midfield is one of the tougher positions to make that adjustment. But I think people are really going to enjoy watching him play this year.
I wrote a story a couple weeks ago about James Pennell, who you mentioned earlier. And for those who aren't aware of the connection, he's the younger brother of Rob Pennell, who played attack for Cornell and was the nation's best player last year. How's James playing, and what do you need from him this year if the team is to reach its potential?
Yeah, well, like I said, I was saying it last fall, two falls ago, before his freshman spring, and that his development in 2013 was going to be a key part of what we were going to look like offensively, because with Cochran on one side, Pennell was going to make us really dangerous by giving us a weapon on the other side of the field, that gives us that right hand, that strong right-handed dodger and threat to the cage and all. And then he got hurt and never was able to get to the point where he wanted to be or we needed him to be last spring. And he's been healthy. He's kind of got himself into shape as the fall and spring has gone on. And I think he's really starting to hit his stride right now. And was a force out there in the scrimmage against Navy. And that's what he gives us. He gives us another weapon on the attack. Just makes us particularly tough to cover. We look a little bit on the attack like Loyola looked 2 years ago on their championship team when they had kind of a big scorer on the wing on each side of the attack. So whoever's playing in that sort of that X position, we can take a little pressure off that guy by being dangerous on either wing, and it's a little harder to get a handle on us, I think, when we can be dangerous on both sides of the field. So he gives us some balance on the attack to having Cochran on the other side, and it certainly makes us tougher to cover.
Chris LaPierre was your sole team captain in 2013, which was supposed to be his final college season. He ended up redshirting because of the knee injury, and he's back this year for a fifth year. Your captains this season are Rob Emery, Scott McWilliams, and Bobby Hill, all seniors. What's Chris's role in the leadership hierarchy this season? Is he something of a captain emeritus?
Absolutely. I mean, he's just one of the leaders on the team, period. I mean, we talk about it all the time. We talk about certain guys are going to be designated as captains, but we need leadership from wherever we can get it. And it doesn't have to be a senior or a fifth-year player to be a leader. You get that from younger guys, and Chris is in that role for us. We always wait to elect captains in the following fall, so the freshmen, for whom this person is going to be or these people are going to be, the leaders of the team, we want the freshmen to be a part of the decision and all. And with Chris's academic, he got into his academic program late, and so he had more of a load academically in the fall. He was only with us about half the time because of what he had to do in the classroom this fall, and so the freshmen never got to know him well enough. But uh, but especially since we've come back in January, you know, he has sort of stepped into that role that he needs to be for us both on the field and off the field, and not afraid to speak his mind. You know, what people don't realize is in a sport like ours, you know, when a boy comes back for a fifth year, it's not like in football and basketball where there's usually a full scholarship waiting there. Mm-hmm. You know, in a case like this, you know, the LaPierre family, you know, didn't plan on paying for a fifth year of college. And, you know, our program doesn't have a full scholarship available to offer him. And so this is a sacrifice for Chris and his family and for everyone around him when these guys, you know, for all these guys that come back for their fifth year. And so for Chris, this is important, you know, and I've talked to the team in the past about, you know, you think of Blake Riley and Chris and guys that have been in that role. These guys came back. They didn't come back to spin their wheels or to just enjoy another year around grounds. They came back because they think we can do something special on a lacrosse field, and they're intent on doing that. And it's not hard to get everybody else's attention when you got players of that caliber and people with that kind of character that are fully invested in what we're doing.
You have the distinction of being the dean of UVA coaches, which gives you a perspective very few people here can match. You came to Virginia from Brown in 1992. A lot of coaches and administrators and support staffers have come and gone since then. How has the department evolved over the years? And maybe that's too big a question constraints.
It's the first reaction to that is, you know, where has all that time gone? You know, how did that happen that I became the dean of coaches? And so many people I've admired here over the years, the thing that's always made this place special is the people that are here, you know, both administrators and the other coaches, the peers, being able to talk to the Kevin Sowers and the Steve Swansons and the George Gelnavaches and the Brian Bolins and guys like that. I've learned a great deal from those people. And I've benefited just from that relationship. When I got here, there was a little bit more of a pecking order amongst the sports. Lacrosse has always had a pretty it was always sort of at a fairly esteemed level in the department, but there were other sports that didn't have the same resources and available to them that lacrosse and basketball and football and some of the other sports had. And what the biggest change has been, being able to fully fund the other programs, being able to build some new facilities, building a new baseball field, a new swim center, field hockey, softball, and then having these teams, good coaches and having these teams grow over the past 10 years. You know, I was talking to someone earlier today, men's lacrosse, we think we have a chance to contend for a national championship. Well, as we stand here today, baseball is number one in the country. Tennis is number one in the country.
Rowing, I think, is number one.
Rowing is pretty close. I mean, it's a remarkable record of success, and it raises the bar for everybody. And so that clearly is the most dramatic change in the years that I've been here.
One final question. Your son joined your coaching staff last summer. What's it been like working with Joe and seeing him every day and being a grandfather?
Yeah, well, the grandfather piece has been a real joy, obviously, and just having Joe around the office. I haven't seen a lot of Joe over the last, 8 or 10 years when he went off to college and all, and we're busy as coaches. He had his own coaching career that he was pursuing. And the big piece is that, I was very curious. He came with high recommendations, earned his way through the interview process and all, but I hadn't really seen him coach, and so I have found myself sort of stepping back to watch him in action, through the fall and spring, and that's been really neat. And I would tell you that, he's good. He's good. He's got a nice, got a nice touch with the players, and he's always been smarter than his old man anyway. And now that when he made a decision he wanted to be a lacrosse coach, he's obviously paid close attention, and he's done a really nice job of preparing us as we get ready to play our first game. And so it's been, for me, a lot of family stuff in town, and around this entire year, and then this is certainly a special part of that.
Great. Well, that's it for this week. Dom, thanks again for stopping by. Good luck against Loyola and throughout the season.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Thanks very much.
I'll be at Klockner on Thursday night to cover the game, and I'll be back here next week with another podcast. In the meantime, remember to check virginiasports.com for news and updates on all 25 of our teams. And thanks for listening.